It's not a very optimistic sign to discuss. Most of us want to believe that we're doing great work through evangelism and blanketing the world with the gospel. And to some extent, God continues to work in the church. He's been faithful to build the church. But the prediction of the church at the very end is not a pretty one. It's an apostate prediction. In 2 Timothy 3:1, and before I even read 3:1, in 4:6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come." So 2 Timothy is Paul's last will and testament. It is Paul's last book written from Roman imprisonment. And it's really what's on his mind before he dies. And I think it's been mentioned here by someone. Maybe Ron mentioned it or somebody, I can't remember. But people really get around to telling us what's on their mind when they get ready to die. Even in the American legal system, the law assigns more weight to statements people make knowing that they're about to die, assuming they're not crazy or senile. If they know they're ready to die, they don't have a lot of time left to talk, and so what they really think starts to come out. And you see, that's what's happening here in 2 Timothy. Certainly Paul was serious all of the time, but you get into 2 Timothy and wow, he's really getting serious now. Here's what's really on his heart. And what does he begin to talk about? He begins to talk about, in chapter 3, the great apostasy of the church. What does he say here in chapter 3 and verse 1? "Realize this, that in the last days, we're going to spread the gospel throughout the whole world and bring in the kingdom." Oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't say that. "But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come." Now, this word translated difficult means difficult and dangerous. See, if I put a 20-pound rock in your knapsack as you're getting ready to go on a hike, I've just added difficulty to your life, right? If I say, okay, walk 100 feet and I put landmines underneath the ground that you can't see, now I've added danger. So Paul is using a word that describes difficulty and danger. It says, in the last days, difficult and dangerous times will come. For who? Who was this written to? Timothy. What do we know about Timothy? What was he doing? He was a pastor at the church at Ephesus. Paul here is not talking about the conditions in the world. He's talking about the church. In the last days, as the church winds to its conclusion, difficult and dangerous times are going to come. The church is going to have a tendency to run off the rail in terms of truth. Those in science know about the second law of thermodynamics, right? The second law of thermodynamics says things naturally go from order to what? Disorder or chaos. Just don't clean your house for a month and you'll see it in effect. Things get gradually more disordered unless you take preparations and care of your house or your car or anything else. The second law of thermodynamics. This is why the theory of evolution couldn't be true, because they're saying the opposite. Things started off chaotically and now they're becoming ordered. So we went from the goo to you by way of the zoo over billions of years. Completely contradicts the second law of thermodynamics. Now, the second law of thermodynamics works or is in operation in the moral realm. Unless God sends a revival or an awakening and re-energizes the church has that same tendency to go from order to chaos over time. He goes on, look at verse 13, "But evil men and imposters," I like the way, I think it's the King James translates this, "will wax worse and worse, or will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Do you recall Matthew 13:33 that we studied? Remember what Jesus said in one of the parables? the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Is the leaven good or is it bad? It's bad. In fact, in the same book, in Matthew 16:11, Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." The church has grown, but you see, there's a counterfeit program at work in the church, like leaven going through a lump of dough, gradually corrupting it. So when you take Matthew 13:33 and you put it together with 2 Timothy 3:1 and 3:13, you have the Lord's predictions concerning the present age, the growth of apostasy as we get near the end of this interim age. Remember how the kingdom was offered to Israel? Rejected. What chapter did Israel reject the kingdom? Probably Matthew 12 is where their hearts are evident that they're going to reject the kingdom. What they do in Matthew 12 gets ratified in the form of the sham trials of Christ and the crucifixion. But in Matthew 12, it's very clear that they're not going to receive the offer of the kingdom. They, in fact, tribute Christ's miracles to who? Beelzebub. So the offer is withdrawn, and Jesus, through 8 parables, outlines the course of this present age. Remember, we've looked at these? The sower, the wheat and tares, the mustard seed, and then there's the yeast in the dough. Something pernicious gradually working its way through the dough and corrupting it. We also talked about the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the dragnet, the householder. We won't go through those all again. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is, in the present church age, God is at work very clearly. But there's also a counterfeit sowing that's taking place. The devil is at work. And unless God sends some sort of awakening or revival, the whole thing has the tendency of becoming corrupted. The postmillennialist, the person that believes we're bringing in the kingdom, I believe misinterprets the yeast in the dough. Yeast is something good to them. I showed you many quotes from the emergent church where they argue this way. But yeast in the scripture is never something good. It's always something bad. So what is apostasy? Apostasy is a sign of the last days, not of Israel, but of the church. It's a sign that God is ready to sound the trumpet and summon the church to heaven through the rapture. Sort of a depressing subject, isn't it? Number 2, apostasy is a massive New Testament subject. It's in the Gospels, Matthew 13:33, as we just looked at. It's in the book of Acts. Take a look at Acts 20, verses 29 through 31. Acts 20, verses 29 through 31. This is the great apostle Paul as he is at Miletus at the end of his third missionary journey. And this is what he says to the elders at Ephesus. Acts 20, verses 29 through 31. "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each of you with tears." What is Paul saying here to these spiritual leaders at Ephesus? He's saying, know this. When I leave, in other words, at the end of the apostolic generation, savage wolves will come into the flock. He says here, "I've warned you about this day and night for 3 years," when he was with them earlier in Ephesus on missionary journey 3. He goes, "I haven't ceased to warn you about this." And you notice that Paul was a man of tears. He was so passionate about the subject of apostasy and what would happen to the beloved church at Ephesus that he actually broke down emotionally many times explaining this reality to the shepherds at Ephesus.